Hello, and welcome to The Talkies, a weekly film podcast with me, Lucy Smith.
And me, Michael Henry.
This week, we'll be discussing costume.
Yes. An underappreciated part of filmmaking, I would say. Just like sound design and production design.
Yeah, I was going to say, in terms of soundtracks and things like that, it's another one which you don't necessarily always want to notice that much, at least in a lot of films. Although I feel we've picked ones where it's like celebrated a bit more.
Yeah, I think yours is more subtle, but I think we've got plenty to talk about with both of them because they kind of both cover the whole spectrum. I'd say, of not the whole spectrum of costume design, but I'm gonna shut up. We've got plenty to talk about. Would you like to introduce your pick?
Yeah, so I definitely went for a more subtle one, and yeah, I wanted to do that to sort of show. I want to like celebrate all the little decisions that they're making all the time that we don't always notice. So my film is The Shape of Water. And for those who haven't seen it, it's set in early 60s. And it's about this woman who cleans in a sort of, I don't know, what would you call it? Military facility?
Military facility underground. And it's all a bit secret.
Yeah. And there's one day they bring in a creature which sort of makes weird cat noises and has gills and scales.
Can I just say, I love the way you describe every film you've ever... Like, every film you've ever picked, the descriptions are amazing.
It's because I don't watch trailers. I don't know how to sell something.
It's refreshing.
Yeah, so that happens. And, connections form. I'm going to leave it at that. But, yeah, what I really... So when I was thinking of costume and stuff, I did think of some films with a bit more like of a, you know, the go-to ideas of, wow, they wore something weird in that.
Well, something iconic, I guess.
Yeah. But what I liked about this one is when I thought back on it, I still remembered the costume, but I couldn't say exactly why. I had to watch it again.
Was it a particular person's costume or was it just several?
I think it was hers. And it's okay. Full of detail. I really love the sort of... They dress her in more of a 50s look. And it is early 60s, to be fair. But I guess the idea is also that she's not, you know, super on trend. But I love the detail they go into with her. So she loves doing these sort of like little tap dances that are similar to the people she watches on TV. And her shoes... You see early on that she loves shoes in the window. And her shoes are always immaculate. Always have this little heel on them. And it's sort of like simple things, like she's got this one beret, but it doubles as a pillow on the way back from work on the bus. And like, it's all block colours. It's not a lot of pattern. And yeah. One great thing that happens. So as the film goes on, she basically sets to realising that she needs to help this creature out, needs to get it out of the facility. And as she sort of gets more gumption, if you will, what's interesting is, so I was reading a interview with the costume designer. So what they do at the start, they put her in sort of neutral tones, much like the others. There's a lot of marine colours in this. There's like blues and greens. The same with the sets as well. But as she starts to formulate her plans, they introduce red shoes, they introduce red headband. And by the end, she's wearing a red coat. And it's sort of like just little signifiers that tell the story as well as all the other visuals do.
Yeah, definitely. And it's a weird thing, but I was trying to think how, in some ways, her costume is iconic. Not in a grand way, like, say, Dorothy in Wizard of Oz, but I think it's the headband towards the end. Like, when I had an image in mind, it was a headband that matched the coat or the dress or whatever she was wearing. And, yeah, I mean, the fact you've pointed out, the fact that the costume changes in colours and shapes and styles throughout the film. That's, I guess, in a weird way, that's kind of what I expected the experience you would have had with cinematography and stuff like that, that you would notice these details. But right. I guess costume's more of a love of yours, I think.
Yeah, no, I never quite did. I let cinematography work on the back of my head, whereas costumes, I'm thinking about... I really loved hearing, like, they've got dream sequences and underwater sequences where fabric and also prosthetics of this creature need to move in different ways. And they've thought about what fabric they have to change whilst also keeping what fabrics they would have used in the 60s and stuff like that. I'm such a nerd for all that stuff. And yeah, clothes making in general. I love the idea of details and telling stories with it.
Yeah. When did you start making, I don't want to say making your own clothes, but toying around with materials and stuff like that? Because pretty much every time we meet up, you're like, oh, I just bought this fabric. or you'll go somewhere and buy a jacket so you can use part of it.
Yeah.
And bits and pieces.
It probably started with my Barbie. I wanted a new dress for her, so I had my favourite stripy socks, but they got holes in them. So I turned it into a halter neck dress for my Barbie.
I'll be honest, I never pictured you playing with a Barbie.
I just had the one. I don't know, it kind of annoys me. It's become a story now. A lot of tomboy women, or even just women who aren't overly girly, said, oh yeah, I used to cut my Barbie's heads off, or shaved all their head off, or whatever.
It's so cliches.
I kept her immaculate. Her earrings smelt of strawberries, and she had many sock dresses. But it was just her. I didn't have any others, so I kept her really clean.
So when you say sock dresses, you mean some of your socks that you would cut up to make a dress?
Yeah, basically. Okay. And sew a bit, too.
I'd love to see a human-sized version of that. Like some giant stocking from Christmas cut up and just see how weird it would look on someone.
I'm sure I've seen that on a catwalk. Yeah, and that's what's interesting probably. As well. Like catwalk, which is usually impractical, versus normal clothes, which is kind of in the middle but can have some personality, versus costume, which is extremely practical. Like they got to think of the actors and how they need to move in it and what needs to be done for the
scene.
And it's
expressive too. I mean, it's going back to what you've just said as well. I know a lot of people actors that I've worked with, who say it doesn't really come together for them until they start wearing the clothes that they would, because it changes. You've said this before, that it completely changes how you feel when you're in them. Mm. And I mean, this week I bought a new pair of boots, and just walking down the street, I felt just the way I walked was different, and it was a lot more confident, purely because the shoes I had before just started to fall apart and started to speak to me. Anyway, that's
what kind of boots?
Generic black boots. I don't know what the Chelsea boots are they called.
Oh yeah, I thought you were gonna be like a cowboy.
No, I'm too old for that. When I was like 20, I would wear stuff like that, but no, I'm not that conservative with a lot of dress sense, but there's a limit. I don't want to look like that much of a dick. Anyway.
Fair dues. But yeah, I guess what the thing is about costume, and I did want to get into it. I sent emails to my local theatre when I was growing up, and I really wanted to get into the department and like learn what they did and shadow them. Just never really happened. They didn't have time to let a random teenager in. But yeah, what's so great about it is you got to master the rules to break them. So these costume makers are going to be like experts, usually in the fabrics. They're going to know how to make any piece of clothing you can think of, and therefore know how to break those rules and make more fantastical ones if they need to. And
well, that's what I found quite interesting about the Westwood documentary, that she's very, very different to what I've sort of expected from fashion designers. Because she's so outspoken and so, well, she's part of punk, obviously. But yeah, I think what you just said about mastering the rules and understanding what it needs to be, or as it has been seen traditionally to need to be. And they go, no, I don't need to do it that way.
Yeah, well, Alexander McQueen trained in suits till his, like, for years, didn't he? And then branched. Yeah.
Well, he branched quite significantly, I would say, the way
he did.
His last few shows were some of the craziest things I've ever seen.
Yeah, that's mastery of material too, but that's like cling film and, I don't know, glass and stuff. Yeah, so I really loved this one and the detail. I don't know, you were talking about the monster as well.
I thought at first you were going to, because obviously when we pick for these, we mention them to each other before we record. And when he said Shape of Water, I thought you meant for the monster. I hate saying the monster. There's probably a better word for it. I thought you meant the makeup and the VFX and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, like you say, it was more the stuff in, not the background, but everyone else. And it wasn't until I rewatched, I was like, actually, yeah, this is... Not that I haven't noticed this before, because Guillermo del Toro, all of his films are immaculately designed. Like, it's probably the thing he's best at, is creating a world and designing it and giving it like a gothic tinge. It feels old school. It feels old fashioned, but also adds new elements to it as well.
Yeah, like the production in general. That's another point I wanted to make. Like the costume designer, you can see how closely they worked with everyone else. Like, I think they talked about colour palettes together and, you know, compromised and did it all together. Like, the sets and the costume, that's... I just can easily get this picture. And it's not quite... I guess a lot of sets aren't quite reality, but it's not quite 60s. It's got this, like, I don't know, unreal... Like, their flats are kind of surreal. Like, the way they're laid out, yeah, she's just got a sofa fantastical in the middle of a room where she sleeps and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you, sorry, with the period piece element to this, would you have known that she's wearing, say, 50s clothes and it's set in the 60s? So if you didn't know a little bit about those fashion styles and fabrics?
Well, it's just the fashion styles, I guess the iconic silhouettes. So you can see the 50s silhouette that she's wearing because of the length of her skirt and the way it goes out. Yeah, I don't know. If I'd have just watched it, I probably would have just assumed it was set in the 50s, to be honest. Well,
I did, personally, to be honest. The first time I watched it, really. You're the one who corrected me on that.
But I guess it's during the Cold War, though, so should have known. But
yeah. To be honest, the first time I ever noticed this kind of stuff, and it did blow my mind a little bit, was, I think it's behind the scenes for Mad Men, where they were talking about the styles of the different hairstyles, but then saying that this character, of course there would be materials or products in the background that weren't bought immediately, and the dress sense of the characters would still be like 5 years behind because they don't want to grow up. But then you clash them with, you know, other people from that contemporary period and just see what happens, basically.
I think it's a strange one for us to grasp because there's no, like, well, I assume people living in the 60s and 70s knew there was an iconic look going on. They saw it come out in, like, the celebrities. Everyone was wearing flares, or everyone's collar was massive, or...
Yeah.
We don't really have that, so...
I was going to ask, actually, what you think the contemporary trend would be, because I've been walking around with friends and seeing things and going, are we just in the 90s now? Because we seem to be going through a phase where everyone's just wearing slightly flared black trousers, trainers, and having the same haircut that looks really stupid and always has.
I don't know which one you mean.
It's just a bowl cut, basically. Everyone's got a bowl cut now.
Oh.
Yeah, I feel like we're in a weird position, especially, well, just culture in general, that it's all reflective. It's all looking back. And
I think we're reliving the last half of the 20th century, especially in clothes. Like, almost everything I own is 60s, 70s, 80s or 90s. And yeah, you're right, 90s has had a huge thing in the last few years too.
Well, I remember, 10 years ago, I remember the 80s being a terrible comeback. What are they called? Leg warmers? Is that what I'm thinking of? And like really bright coloured, like neon things. Oh, it was so bad. I feel like there isn't much new happening. That's not entirely true.
I do wonder
true,
if decades from now there will be a sort of early 2000s style that everyone could pinpoint, but we're just too inside it to see.
To be honest,
I
can pinpoint like early aughts, but I think the last decade, everything's just kind of been jumbled up into a weird mess. Like, there's no...
I mean, for women, there's leggings and crop tops, which are not quite 80s. I could, like, point at someone in certain leggings and crop tops and say, you're from 2010 or whatever. But, you know, we don't wear those outfits all the time. So otherwise, you've got, like, high-waist 90s jeans or you got... Anyways, I won't go into too much of a rant. But...
I agree, though.
Yeah.
Which might be a good lead into my pick, because it's supposed to be near future, but it was shot in the 70s. And it's predicting an alternate future. Or I say alternate because there's a lot of stuff in there that just would never exist. My pick is Clockwork Orange. And I picked this purely because, well, I know nothing about costume. Let's just get that out of the way.
I don't think that's true. You're a filmmaker.
Well, not nothing, but I mean, I don't know where the thought process would come from to make something as iconic as this, for instance. Like, this is something that... So Clockwork Orange, I think most people could identify as, oh, it's from that film. So the bowler hats, the white shirts, the white trousers,
the braces.
The braces, the boots, the jock strap type thing, and also the makeup on one eye, just having really large lashes on one eye. It's there's nothing else that looks like it. And I don't know how someone decided on that, but it's so effective. And this was, for me, the only, almost the only thing that came to mind. There's some other things like Star Wars and Indiana Jones that they're iconic, but I don't think they're quite the same as this, because this feels like it just appeared out of nowhere, almost. Because I haven't read the book. I think you have, though, right?
No, it's on my shelf.
I don't know where I got that from.
I did start to read it, and I got too annoyed by going back to the glossary and decided to read something different, but I will get to it.
Yeah, but do you think you'd be able to read it now you've seen the film?
That's the problem. That's why it kind of maybe ruined it. But I do wonder how much of the costume came straight from the book, if they could have just absorbed that, or if they, how much they came up with on their own.
I think
like he's got bleeding eyes on his cuffs. I think things like that, I assume, are from the book.
Well, I mean, if the strange thing about this one is that it feels like, because there isn't just a style that everyone's wearing, different groups have their own thing, and even when he's not wearing the iconic costume, he wears like weird sort of 1400s decadent, I imagine a king in France wearing some of the costumes he wears. Or Beethoven.
That was some of the style in the 70s. Like, I don't know, that's, you got, true, like teddy boys and stuff doing like faux gentlemanly stuff.
Well, I feel like that in some ways, we talked about this before we recorded, that in some ways this film hasn't quite aged well, because, and it's a common thing, is when someone predicts the future or a new style, they can't help but see outside of what they're living in at the time. And there are times this does feel a bit too 70s, and it does feel a bit garish, and like the family home, for instance, the wallpaper's dire. It's just, there's so many patterns and colours.
You know, it's most of the suits that are meant to be just generic people's suits have huge collars and huge ties as well.
Yeah.
What's interesting to me is this was 1971, right?
Yeah.
Just turning into the 70s. So what they must have done is sort of, like, it must have been bang on trend, all this sort of flares and stuff, I'm assuming. I don't know. Maybe that was late 60s, but as in, thinking futuristic, what they did was get the stuff that was just coming onto the catwalks, maybe, and then updating it from there.
Yeah.
Although to us it looks dated, to them it must have been like...
Well, I mean, I think the film in general feels a little bit dated, because I feel really bad that I'm technically about to shit on Stanley Kubrick, who I think is one of the best directors of all time, but because it's on film stock and because it was shot in the 70s and this was technically lower budget as well. Like, this is a pretty low budget film in comparison to... So he 3 years before this, he made 2001 A Space Odyssey, which is a huge sci-fi epic that spans the entire history of time, essentially. And it was made for like $12 million. And then they made this for $2 million, which again, sounds a lot. But it's the equivalent of Christopher Nolan making something like Interstellar or Dunkirk, and then going to make a Wes Anderson film, like taking a step back financially. But I think it was, I mean, for me anyway, it's a huge... I love 2001, but this is a very pristine world built that I don't think I've seen anything come close to. I've seen people try and replicate it, but I haven't really seen any costumes like this or any music that quite does what this does. Or, yeah, it's an entire world created from scratch.
I can see why you'd be drawn to it, because, that sounds like a dream to be in charge of all that. Creating it all from scratch.
I don't feel like I've got that in me, I'll be honest. I don't feel like I've got the creative capacity to think of changing everything within the world that you're going to see. That might not be true, maybe in the future, but I've just realised I should probably introduce the film that we're talking about right now. So A Clockwork Orange is, it's about a gang leader who gets caught, I won't say what for, they're pretty terrible people as a gang, but there's a bit of infighting within the gang, and eventually the leader gets caught and imprisoned, and to get out of prison earlier he volunteers for an experimental treatment to change criminal behaviour, and it doesn't go as planned. That's the brief way to express what that film's about. We're not technically talking about the film as such this week, so I won't get into what it's technically about.
Even the word gang, that, like, all the associations with all this, like, to be fair, like the prison uniforms and all that are like all as you'd expect, but it starts with them all drinking milk. I realize the milk has alcohol, but it's like And these are, I didn't realise until there's a scene where his mum, like, says you're late for school. I would have thought he was, like, almost 30. That's what he looks like to me, so it's...
Yeah, I think that's the detriment of... I mean, up until maybe... I'm not going to put a date on it, but, you know, earlier films would always have people who looked way too old to be in, like, high school right. and stuff. And, yeah, he captures, I think, the youthful kind of rebellion and
oh yeah
a teenage quality, but he definitely does look at least 25 at youngest, I would say. Yeah,
but yeah, when I first saw all these outfits, like outside the film too, because I just seen all the images, I don't even know where from, but you do, don't you, with cult ones?
Yeah.
The all white things they wore sort of weirdly reminded me of straitjacket outfits, which is kind of ironic.
I'd never thought that before. That's probably intentional.
And it's a weird one. So, like, yeah, I sort of assumed they'd, like, broken out of an asylum or something, like, before I watched it anyway.
Well, I mean, psychologically, that's pretty accurate. They do act with complete disregard for justice and any morality at all. Like, they do some hideous things in it. Anyway, we're not talking about the film.
I think this film is very good for, playing with things we already assume, and so it signifies a lot. There's a lot of sort of rank shown just in costume in this, which helps with the story, obviously, but like things like they're all in all white, which is angelic, right? And then that's part of the joke, and then they play a lot with colors, and
there's a lot of irony to all the choices, I would say. Even the music and stuff like that it's all kind of wink, and it's quite charming, even though they're doing really really horrific stuff. This film was banned for at least 30 years, by the way.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I mean, we won't get into all of that because that's for another time, maybe, like video nasties. But I think even Stanley Kubrick too, I think he agreed to ban it because he realised it could lead to public disturbance, is kind of how he worded it, which seems silly now when we watch truly horrific stuff all the time on the internet. Anyway.
I think... Yeah, like this is another situation as well where the production teams worked so closely together. Like costumes worked so well with the set here. And even the music, like that when they're like on their way to go beat someone up at a house, there's this like very classy classical music playing, and they got their braces and their sort of gentlemanly hats. And there's a lot of play going on with all of it, and it all sort of fits in together.
Well, that's the weird thing that kind of jars, I think, is that they do have appreciation, especially the character, do have appreciation for some of the finer things in life that you probably wouldn't assume someone who's like 17 and in a gang would. So his obsession with Beethoven and all that kind of stuff, yeah. I wanted to ask, so can you remember the noticing costume for the first time or being conscious that someone decided those things in a film?
I don't know if I can remember it, but I always remember from an early age latching on to costumes based on the character they're in. I guess that's what like fashion photo shoots try to do. You want to be them, so therefore you want to wear their clothes. But that happened with film for me.
I remember dressing up as a cowboy when I was a kid a lot. In some ways, but I don't think I was conscious of it until maybe I was a teenager, really.
Did your mum put it in on you?
I mean, yeah, when I was a very small kid, I was dressed as, like, all sorts, like a sailor and stuff like this. Okay. But, no, I would be asking, like, I wanted to be a cowboy when I was a kid. Like, that's the first thing I ever wanted to be, because I was watching Westerns.
Okay.
But, no, I don't think it was till I was, like... I mean, like I say, Star Wars is iconic, so you're aware, oh, that's Darth Vader because of what he's wearing immediately. But I don't think it was till I was mid-teens when I started to get into film that I realised, oh, someone decides that they wear these things. It sounds so simple now, but I imagine some people, like yourself with cinematography, some people probably don't even think about it.
Yeah. I would sort of think, oh, you point a camera and, like, magic happens. But no, there's a lot of setup. And, yeah, same with clothes. Lots of planning.
So much setup.
Yeah, what I wanted to ask is, do you notice when costumes aren't done well?
I mean, if something's, like, low budget and it has failed and it looks shoddy... But generally, not really, I think.
Yeah, how would it look shoddy? Because I think a costume has failed if it doesn't suit the character. But that's a very hard thing to notice.
That's definitely a way. But I'm saying more, if you're trying to make a sci-fi and you clearly don't have the budget.
Yeah.
you know, like that level where it's like laughable.
Okay.
To be honest, Shape of Water, for instance, not saying it's shoddy, Shape of Water is one where the costume is not something I ever thought about when I watched it.
Okay.
And I was more immersed in the idea of what the film was and what it was trying to say and how well performed it was and all the beautiful details throughout, really. But yeah, but I think that's why it's a good pick, because it's similar to when we talked about cinematography. Should it stand out? Like, mine is striking, but I feel like it's a rare example of a film where it should.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like, it should be iconic, but it should also fit the world. Like, again, I hate to keep going back to Star Wars, but it fits the world, definitely.
And the world that's created by the rest of production, I think, if it stands out from everything else around the people as well. Yeah. Or the tone of the whole film, even. Like,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, if you got sort of a gentle, romantic, unless you're doing it for like effect, costume will, well, that's the thing, it feels like, oh, it'll naturally fit in, that's what they'll think of when they come up with it, and that's also true, but someone needs to think about how it moves, think about who's wearing what color with another person and what that means. And yeah,
well, it's interesting going back to something you said earlier, that I think in some, like, it grounds, say Blazing Saddles, those costumes ground it in a time that we can go, oh, it was then, roughly. And you get a taste of the atmosphere and what the place is.
Yeah.
I don't, going back to what you said before, I don't know if people in future, although I don't think people will be making futures in films in 100 years, to be honest, not in the way that we're used to now. I don't think people would go back to, say, 2015 or 2020. And I don't think people will be able to make a costume for this time.
Mm.
And people go, oh, yeah, that's what they wore, because it's so, there's so much repetition of earlier time periods and there's so much smashing together of cultures.
I guess there's a lot of license there, though. Like, we can sort of pick out someone who's obsessed with 50s vintage in the street easy. But yeah, as you said, I guess it doesn't signify the time. It would just be like a mishmash of...
In a strange way, I think people would probably... If someone makes, say, a video game and they base the costumes on now, say, it might look more like Clockwork Orange, because it is a weird mash of things that are so strange and so forward-thinking, and so there is a smashing together of what looks futuristic in some places. You can imagine Prince wearing some of these costumes, and then the very much like 60s-looking things, and then weird Edwardian costumes in places. There's such a weird smashing together of things.
Can we talk about his mum as well? The guy's mum in Clockwork Orange. So his dad's in a suit. He's, you know, a teenager. He's got his own style, even, you know, his gang style. But his mum's wearing, like, purple, pink wigs, crazy coloured socks and different coloured shoes, and it's all clashing. And I can't quite work out her out and why she's wearing these things. I guess maybe that's like a hint of where he got some of his personality from, because it doesn't seem like it's from his dad.
That's true. But I think also, I mean, that's a character I haven't really thought of before, to be honest. She stands out colour-wise, definitely the wigs. But again, I think that's something that adds to the whole world of this thing, is that, you know, it's not unreasonable now to find a 50-year-old woman with a lot of colour in her hair. Like, it's not that strange now, but I imagine, in watching this in 71... thinking she's
maybe
an alien.
It was hinting that they think that's going to be the fashion, and that this mum is simply fashionable. Maybe that's all it's saying.
I don't know if there's like a deeper level of character to her hair, but I think that's what I think it would be.
How do you approach costume in your own films? Like, obviously there's like budget to consider and stuff.
Budget's been the main consideration. In the past, where we were very, very low budget, it would just be a case of saying to the actors, have you got anything that's appropriate for what we're looking for here? And letting them decide based on what they already own. But then naturally...
How did you decide what you're looking for?
I didn't put that much thought into it, I'll be completely honest. It wasn't up until maybe our fourth film, where it's about wearing costumes where you do stand out and this kind of thing. And maybe a bit with Mute as well. Anhedonia more so, like, we were buying accessories and stuff. And then the new film, Mother Sky, I'm looking more into it. So it isn't just bring your own clothes that you're comfortable in. So if you're pedantic, dress a bit more pedantically. I will be buying especially if I'm actually struggling a little bit with the leads, which is where you'll be coming in to help. I think with one of the the lead character in particular, one of the leads, sorry, I don't have a clear image. I know who's playing it. I've had that in mind for so long, but I'm really struggling with trying to pick exactly a look that you go, oh, it's them.
Right.
I think, yeah.
I guess the thing is, there's people who exist in this world who can also be characters that don't have, they haven't found their style either. And I think that also translates into sometimes their personality, sometimes they're not quite comfortable with themselves or...
I think that'll play. I think you're right.
That can say a lot as well.
But I also feel for it to be one of the lead characters, they probably should have a costume that...
That's fair.
People remember as well. Like, going back, yeah, similar to what you just said there, where people haven't figured out their own style. I felt probably around 20, I'd figured out, oh, this is kind of the things that I lean towards, you know, like black leather jacket and grey drain pipes and pointy shoes, stuff like this, and messy hair. And I'm wearing a purple vest and grey trousers right now. I'm more willing to take risks than I think most people I know.
I've always loved, well, not always, since I was 16, when I can't remember if the confidence came first or the clothes came first, but yeah, I've always used colourful clothes and stuff to force myself into confidence, and it really works.
So. Well, it's one of the first things I noticed about you. Well, not the first in general, but I think I remember after one seminar, I think it was a fire alarm when we're doing our MA, and I said, oh, like your trousers, you had these flares on that were like chameleon looking pattern. I don't know, how would you describe them?
I call them my rainbow flares, yeah.
Yeah, they're amazing.
Thanks. Yeah, I like
them.
And
you have a very distinct style in general, even though it's not one style, I don't think.
No.
Colourful is something I would say, but you don't have one style.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Yeah, it's about body shape that tells you about someone's style too. I guess you've got to think about that with actors as well. If you're doing a costume and it really doesn't suit their body shape, do you want it to not suit them, or like do you need to work with that? So yeah,
well, that's definitely something I'm going to use for another character in the film. I want them to be quite bulky and cumbersome.
Not quite got it. Yeah, I like how little bits of personality can come out in all the clothes. Thank you for listening to The Talkies. This week was costumes. Let us know what you think. We'd love to hear from you. And don't forget to tune in next week.